Today, I am talking to Professor and Director of UIS Theater, Eric Thibodeau-Thompson. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thanks for having me.
No problem. So starting off, how about you tell our audience a little bit about yourself?
I sometimes joke and tell people I'm a rookie at UIS because I'm now in my 19th year. I've enjoyed working here for quite a while. And I am one of three theater faculty in the UIS theater program. I think it bears mentioning because it understandably takes a little while for people to really get this down. So I'll just say that the theater program at UIS, known as UIS Theater, is one of three programs, visual arts, music, and theater, which are all housed in the Department of Art, Music, and Theater. And I say that because sometimes well-meaning people will say, oh, the Department of Theater or whatever. And strictly speaking, that's not quite right. We are the theater program, which is one of three programs in the Department of Art, Music, and Theater. And I am just one of about 11 professors in the Department of Art, Music, and Theater. And as I said a moment ago, I'm one of three theater professors in UIS Theater, the other two being Professor Dathan Powell, who is our scenic designer and tech director and teaches all of our technical theater classes, as well as other classes like in our literature track and other scene shop classes and such. And then Professor Missy Thibodeau-Thompson, yes, my wife and colleague, there's no accident with that last name being the same. Like me, she teaches the acting and directing classes and some other classes as well. So all three of us enjoy some overlap with one another, but clearly Dathan is our expert for things dealing with design and backstage, while Missy and I teach primarily on stage classes. And all three of us enjoy teaching some of the survey classes like intro to theater, theater history, script analysis, and so on.
And I would just like to say I've been so fortunate to learn so much from all three of you throughout the year. So just thank you for that.
Well, you are one of our many all-star alumni who have already gone on to bigger and better things. And we so appreciate, you know, I learned a while back, it doesn't hurt to have good connections. And you are one of our many good connections out there.
Well, that makes me smile.
It's true. Hey, the truth is the easiest thing to remember.
So the last time we talked, I think the newly remodeled studio theater was underway. So I wanted to know, how has it been working in that space?
It's been great. And when you mention that, I feel compelled to thank once again, Brian Reeves, who is the director of the Performing Arts Center, Performing Arts Services. It was really Brian who led the way with all of that being even possible. And I just sort of jumped on his coattails to help where I could. But largely because of Brian's efforts, our campus secured that grant that made the studio theater renovation happen. And to answer your question, we've been real pleased with it so far. And we're eager for, once we eventually get on the other side of COVID, to do more traditional productions in that space with the new equipment and the facelift that it has had. I know Brian has also been hard at work adding some equipment so that users of the studio theater can also live stream if they want to and that sort of thing.
Well, that sounds really cool and a good way to get more students involved. So I hear you're currently in the show run for the UIS Theater production of John Patrick Shanley's Rogues Gallery. Can you tell us a little bit about the show and why you chose it?
Sure. So last summer, as COVID was still kind of young, ravaging the country, I thought, well, gee, can we really do our other production, which was initially scheduled for the fall of 20? Let me check with the rights handler who happened to be in London. Can we do it live stream if we need to? This was just me kind of thinking about that on my own. And so I'm glad I contacted them because understandably, you know, a lot of playwrights feel this way. They came back and said very respectfully, actually, no, Eric, this playwright only wants their play done in a traditional manner. So if COVID is such that your campus has to flex or pivot and do something else to be safe, you wouldn't be able to do it with this show. So I immediately shared this news with my theater faculty colleagues, and they allowed me to start researching for a new title to do in the fall. And that's what I did. And as I was researching, I came across Rogues Gallery as a possibility because it wasn't actually even a play, technically. Rather, it is a collection of monologues. And I thought to myself, well, that's got built-in social distancing, right? Insofar as there's not even scene partners, it's just one person on stage at a time. And so that sounded to me like a good way to go. And so I dug a little deeper, and to spare you all the details, basically back and forth emails with the rights handler for Rogues Gallery. And I learned that here, yes, you could do it traditionally if COVID were to go away, or more likely you could do it live streaming, or you could even record it and then subsequently show that recording again and again for performance dates and times if you had to. And so with that much flexibility, I turned to Dathan and Missy, my theater colleagues, and they agreed with me that this was smart to go for our fall production. So we went that way with Rogues Gallery, knowing that it had pre-approved different ways of producing it with the rights and all. And then additionally, as I built the rehearsal schedule, I thought, okay, let's get our team ready for any eventuality. So we have been, over the last 2 months, rehearsing for plan A, which is that we live stream from the studio theater with no audience present, of course. Plan B, we get a recording of the show accomplished during dress rehearsal week, and if necessary, just rebroadcast that recording for some of the performance days. And plan C, or as I've been calling it, emergency plan C, where each actor zooms in their performance from their respective homes using green screens and cameras, some equipment that our dean's office was helpful in securing for us.
Well, that sounds like a lot of preparation.
It was. It meant a lot more work on the front end, but I think it gave us, the payoff was, it gave our whole team a little more peace of mind as we were getting closer to opening night. And so far, you know, we've been able to live stream all the performances, and that's got a big educational value for our student actors and students working backstage too, because they understand and get to experience again the real life commitment of, you know, showing up to the theater over a number of days to not only turn in another live performance if you're an actor, but also to get your job duties done smoothly backstage if you're a crew member. And it's interesting that we have this interview today, November 11th, because as we speak, our chancellor is updating us about how the campus should continue to move forward given the unfortunate recent increase in COVID, not just in Illinois, but across the whole country. And so it's very likely we'll make this call, I think, in the coming hours, but it's very possible, I'll put it that way, that for our second weekend of performances, November 12th, 13th, and 14th, we may have to just simply show a pre-recording of the whole show online to audience members who want to see the show rather than live stream, because even live streaming involves one actor at a time for the duration of their monologue, taking their mask down so the cameras can capture that. So it sounds like we may have to pivot for the second weekend and just show the recording, which was done earlier back on November 4th. And that way no actors have to even show up to the theater, nor do any technicians have to show up. We just are able to rebroadcast what was earlier recorded when times were comparatively safer to do so. And here too, I wanna thank the many talented people in the Office of Electronic Media, Mark Verdine, Mike Taylor, Cody Pope, among them. Without them, we wouldn't be able to do this kind of maneuver. And also, I need to acknowledge Jen Tibbs, who is in the Performing Arts Center, the Performing Arts Services staff with Brian Reeves. These people are also very, very key to helping us pivot and show just a earlier recording of the show for the remaining performances if we need to do that. And finally, I also want to thank Shannon Smith in the UIS ticket office and all the Performing Arts Services staff members who have been ongoing, extremely helpful to me and to UIS Theater into helping us understand how to do this technically and also helping us pivot when necessary, like maybe the case today onward, to make the show still safe for everybody and hopefully still compelling as well.
So we talked a lot about the preparation, and earlier I was thinking back on when I would come out and audition for shows and how nervous I would be. So I'm thinking, how was the audition process this time around considering COVID-19?
That's a great question. It was a little bit the same and a little bit different. And what I mean by that is we were all of us masked up at the Studio Theater way back during auditions. Again, COVID was a little different then than it is now. And we were able to mask up, socially distance, and bring in just one actor at a time to the Studio Theater. I was the only other person in the Studio Theater. Everybody else was out front completing their audition forms and being assisted by our many workers with UIS Theater. And so it would be just two of us in the theater at a time, each of us masked up, and I'd say over 50 feet of space between us, as they would cold read their audition for me. In addition to that, however, we also gave options to actors to send in videos of their auditions if they wanted to. And they could send in a prepared monologue that was of a contemporary nature if they wanted to. It didn't have to be from Rogues Gallery, or if they preferred, they could cold read something from Rogues Gallery, or as happened in the case of a couple of actors, I think they bothered to memorize something from Rogues Gallery in advance and perform that via a video that they submitted to me. And so it was a combination of a number of things that kept us safe and also got the job done.
And how do you think actors have been reacting to all these changes that are happening?
Well, our actors have been fabulous, as have everyone on our team. You know, our stage managers, Jordan Pate, Sierra Buskey, Megan Doan, all UIS students, and all the backstage crew led by Professor Dathan Powell have been just extraordinary with their flexibility and commitment. And then the actors, which you asked about, you know, my contact time with them is more frequent just by the nature of how we rehearse a show, which you know, but it doesn't mean that the actor's job is more important than what the people do backstage, right? And that's always an important distinction I like to remind people about. When we go to the theater, even in normal times, we see the actors foremost and we, you know, we tend to think they're the whole show, but of course they're not the whole show. And their job is extremely important, but it's not more important than what the lighting designer is doing or what the sound designer is doing or what the stage managers are doing or what the dramaturg is doing and so on down the line. But our actors, with all of that said, have been wonderfully durable, wonderfully flexible. You just can't tip them over. And we had built into our rehearsal schedules some dedicated evenings where we were going to rehearse emergency plan C, so to speak, where, you know, we're going to zoom in tonight's rehearsal from their homes using green screens in their homes because we might have to do the show this way. We had designated rehearsals on our rehearsal schedule for that. We also had other designated rehearsals where we were still practicing plan B, which led to the recording of the show because we knew we would want that in our hip pocket, so to speak, so that we could pivot to just showing that if COVID got worse. I'm so glad we did that because now we may have to do that. And then, as you might expect, we rehearsed plan A, live streaming the show the most often because we were cautiously optimistic that that would be the most likely to happen. And it did for the first weekend of performances. But again, for the second weekend coming up, we may have to pivot and show the recording of our show to be adequately safe for everybody.
Now, when I, you know, do the shows, I'm always really amazed by Dathan and the set design, the costuming, the backstage, because a lot goes into that and it helps create the overall picture. I'm wondering, how was that affected or what adjustments had to be made to kind of still have beautiful costumes, still have a great stage management team?
That's a great question, too. You know, the Office of Electronic Media, those people, Mike Taylor, Mark Verdine, Cody Pope, and then us, Dathan Powell, myself, the stage managers, we would say on occasion during the whole rehearsal process, well, we're learning from your world. Your world is perhaps learning from ours. And together, we're going to shake hands in the middle here somehow. And so to answer that question about the set and scenic design, Dathan, who's just a little bit brighter than me, was able to catch on faster and kind of helped guide me towards understanding, you know, how things are going to work in this middle ground area, which is our world merging with the world of Office of Electronic Media. And so it meant things like no physical brick and mortar set in the studio theater like we're so used to seeing. But instead, the lighting design by Dathan Powell took on a little extra meaning. The costuming, which Dathan took on top of his normally scheduled tasks, also took on a little extra meaning. But also working with the folks in OEM, as we say for short, Office of Electronic Media, the OEM staff people helping us by bringing in a green screen to the studio theater, and Dathan and I learning what cameras can pick up, what they cannot pick up. That's what led to our virtual set, if you will. It also included, but was not limited to, our tremendous props team, Claire Larson, who's been our props master for a few shows going now. She's a wonderful student here at UIS, and our ongoing, sometimes props master, sometimes props assistant, staff member Sabrina Holmes. Those two have been very integral in securing for us some set props, and that was part of how the set came into being. So a combination of set props, green screen, lighting, costumes, the drapes that are now in the renovated studio theater, are they going to be covering the green screen for this next monologue or not? A combination of all of these things creates the virtual set that one sees in the monitor that I look at during rehearsals or through the cameras as people look at our show online.
And personally, how did you prepare to direct and take on this challenge this semester? I bet it was very just challenging. And how did you stay sane through all of this?
Good question. Well, like all of us are trying to stay sane, I suppose. You know, I think we're not the only busy beyond belief people on campus, of course. You know, we recognize our students are maybe challenged the most of any of us. You know, they've got multiple courses to keep navigating through, homework to do for all of those classes. And then for some of them, doing an extracurricular thing also, whether it's being an athlete on one of our teams or working on our current UIS theater production or, you know, doing whatever else, working in the NPR station. You know, I mean, all of us have taken on something extra that's not unique to us. And I think all of us, no matter what we're doing, I think through some trial and error, I know that's how it's been for me, but also what's been for me, I imagine has been the case for a lot of us, keeping a routine, still take that shower every day, you know, it refreshes you, it kind of makes you feel a little bit normal, you know, for me, I have gone to campus quite a bit, not every day necessarily, many a day I've been at home zooming in everything. But I have gone to campus a number of times just because that helps me feel normal too. You know, get that shower done. I'm going to drive to campus. Yes, I'm masked up, but I'm lucky that my particular office is somewhat secluded. And so I'm behind doors, I'm behind walls, I'm all by myself if I want to be in my office area. And thereby I'm protecting others because I'm not near anyone. And I've got the sanctuary of my office space to get a number of things done, including but not limited to teaching my classes remotely, as well as directing this fall production remotely at times, in person, masked up at times.
And finally, where can people go to get tickets for the remaining shows?
Very easy. If they go, they can go to the Performing Arts Center website is one good way to do it. But perhaps an even simpler way is to just go to the UIS Theater website, which is www.uis.edu/theater. So uis.edu/theater. And right on the homepage is a link to tickets for Rogues Gallery. It might sound a little funky to people. The show is free, and yet you do need a ticket. And a person might understandably ask, well, what the heck? But the reason is simple. It's just with the rights for this show, the rights handlers insisted that people who view Rogues Gallery must have a ticket. However, it's up to us how much one charges, if anything, for a ticket. But one can easily get their ticket by going to that website I just gave you, following the links, and they can tune in and see the show. And finally, I'll just say, for Friday the 13th and Saturday the 14th, I would encourage people to log on a little bit early, maybe by 7:15, because thereby they can enjoy some extras, like U.S. Theater Majors being interviewed, the dramaturgy presentation done by Charlotte Medina, a wonderful first-year student here at UIS. There's just some extras in the virtual lobby, if you will, before the show starts at 7:30.
And I guess the real final question I will ask you, is there any news for next semester's show yet?
That's a good question. You know, when a person watches Rogues Gallery, and it's not long, people might be happy to hear the running time is about 1:15 is all, and it's just a 5-minute intermission. We do 5 monologues, 5-minute intermission, and then 4 monologues. And then as the last of the 9 monologues finishes, kind of like watching a movie, the credits roll up the screen. And I would encourage people to stay for that. It's only 2-3 minutes long, not quite like watching a Marvel movie and waiting for, you know, it's a little shorter than that. But at the end of the credits, we have 12th night information that we are eager to give people. And Missy Thibodeau-Thompson, my colleague, will be directing 12th night this spring. To everybody out there, come check out Rogues Gallery, because even though we're in the middle of this crazy pandemic, it still doesn't mean that we don't have to do anything with the arts. The arts can still be enjoyed, whether it's UIS theater, UIS music, or our wonderful UIS visual arts program, all of them in the Department of Art, Music, and Theater.